Dear Lord in heaven, we come before you this morning humbled, thankful for your love and your grace and your mercy in our lives. And Lord, as we gather together as a body of believers, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be in this place. Lord, that you would speak to us and speak through us this morning. Lord, may we be convicted and encouraged by your word. Would you help our hearts and our minds to be conformed to your will as we sing together, as we pray together, as we read and hear your word together. Lord, I pray for those in our church who are struggling with illness this morning. Lord, specifically we think of Pastor Brad. I had a fever this morning, and Lord, we thank you for a negative COVID test. We know that it's just one more thing that he doesn't have to worry about, but Lord, as he's not feeling well, as he's feeling under the weather and a little beat down physically, Lord, I pray that he would feel encouraged in his heart and in his spirit, because Pastor Brad knows just as well as we all know that you are the God above all, and that you are not only the God of this earth and the God of the sky and the God of the sun, moon, and stars and the God of the birds and the animals and the creatures of this earth, but Lord, you are the God over us and you are the God of our bodies. You've created our bodies, and Lord, you know better than anyone on this earth what is going on in each of our bodies. And Lord, we know that, and we trust that healing will be done in your time. And so, Lord, help us to be conformed to your will, conformed to your time. Lord, we know that Pastor Brad is just a big ball of energy who probably has more energy than a lot of us in this room combined. And so, Lord, I pray that he would have quick healing, and that energy would return to him, and that he would feel refreshed and ready to continue serving you and continue serving your people here and continue serving this community. And Lord, we thank you for his leadership here at this church. We thank you for his heart that he has for you and for his people. And Lord, as other members of our church are feeling ill, Lord, I just pray that you would bring healing to them as well. Lord, whether it's physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, spiritual healing, Lord, you are the God who provides those kinds of healing. You are the God who can do all. And so, Lord, again, we trust you in those things. So, Lord, as we gather together to read your word and study it, Taylor, Lord, I pray that you would just bless our time together. May everything that we say and everything that we do today honor and glorify you. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. So, as you may have heard in my prayer there, Pastor Brad is feeling under the weather today. And so I got a wonderful text at 6:30 this morning saying, hey, can you call me as soon as you get this? And so I did. And then he said, hey, do you have anything in your back pocket ready to teach on today? And I said, nope. But I did. I had a few months ago, our Sunday school teacher was sick, and I had the opportunity to teach for our Sunday school class, and that was another kind of last minute thing. So my wife drove on the way up here, and I sat in the passenger seat with my Bible and my phone, taking notes on something that was that I had a lot of time a few months ago to reflect on, because it was something that I was dealing with personally. And it's something that I think is kind of hard for us to talk about sometimes, because it might be because of how we were raised in the church, in our individual churches. It might be because of certain things that have happened in our own lives influencing it. But regardless, it's something that I think we need to talk about. It's something that I know I heard heard feedback from one person in the morning service that they felt like they needed to hear and felt very convicted about. And it's something that I'm still myself personally going through just from things this past year. And that's forgiveness. And we're going to talk about what forgiveness means and when to forgive and who to forgive and why to forgive. And so as we go through these points and we look at these scripture verses that kind of back them up, my hope is that that everyone here feels convicted, but not convicted in a way that you leave with this kind of guilt or depression or something like that. But I hope that you feel convicted in a way that that only the Lord can bring, where you're also encouraged in your heart. You're encouraged by the Word, and you're encouraged by the Lord Himself as we consider these things. And so we're going to go through some select passages. Since it was 6:30 this morning, I don't have any slides or anything like that. But if when we're going through it, if you decide you want some of these points and these verses and that kind of stuff, I could always just email this over to you if you wanted to, or something like that. Or when I'm done, I can just give it to you. But there's only one, so you can't like fight over it or anything. So we're going to talk about forgiveness today. And again, I think it's something that that people might say, I don't want to say that people might be necessarily lying to themselves in their hearts, but I think sometimes we think, oh, I'm fine with forgiveness. I can forgive and forget. You know, somebody does something wrong, they come up to me, ask me for forgiveness. Yeah, you're forgiven, and then I go about my day, and yet we still harbor something in our hearts and in our souls. And that's not really what forgiveness is. That's just saying some words. And so we're going to talk a lot about the heart behind it and that kind of stuff today. But before we get into it, let's just pray again together. Dear Lord, as we go to your word to consider what it means to forgive, what it means to be forgiven, why and who and when we should forgive, Lord, we only know these things because you are the standard for these things, and you've given us your word to teach us about these things. And Lord, that's a wonderful blessing, and we thank you for that. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go through these passages, as we go through these points, Lord, that you would convict us, but not that we would feel convicted have a kind of guilt or depression or anything, but Lord, that we would feel convicted in a way that would encourage us to live holy lives that have been an example given from you and from your Son. And Lord, may we aspire to live those things. We can never live these lives perfectly, but Lord, may we aspire to do so regardless. And so, Lord, just speak through me this morning. Lord, set me aside, and just speak through your word, and just touch the hearts and the minds of everybody in here today as we talk about this together. So it's in your name that I pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to grab my water bottle real quick, because I don't know if you guys are there, but I just sang a whole bunch of songs. I'll try not to clear my throat again like that in the microphone. So we're going to talk about forgiveness, and it's kind of hard when discussing this topic. It's kind of hard to talk about personal ways that one has dealt with forgiveness without airing out a bunch of dirty personal laundry and talking about stuff that you guys really don't want to know about or don't need to know about and that kind of stuff. And so rather than go into any kind of specific anecdote, what I want to just mention to you guys and give you guys a little bit of my own history is when I was growing up, I had some things happen in my life when I was younger that I think affected my attitude. I've always been kind of a happy fellow, and I like making people laugh and that kind of stuff. That hasn't changed at all since I was little. But when I was a little kid, up until early high school, early teen years and that kind of stuff, I did have a lot of anger and I think a lot of hate in my heart just as a result of things that I had been through. And thankfully, the Lord rescued me from that in high school. And in fact, when I tell people that nowadays, like, oh yeah, I had a horrible temper. I was an angry kid. People are like, really? You? And that kind of makes me feel encouraged. I'm like, oh, good. So it's something that the Lord has helped to rescue me from. And it's something that as I'm now 36, I'm going to be 37 in a couple of months, looking back through my life, I've been able to reflect, you know, hindsight is 20/20, reflect on how the Lord has rescued me from that and how it can help me better understand forgiveness and better understand how to have a heart to love people and care for people. So we're going to talk about, I'm going to give 5 points, and each of these points is going to have a passage that I'm going to have you turn to, but we might not go through that passage right away. I might read through some other passages, and then we'll talk about the specific one that that you have your finger in. But the very first point that we're going to go to about forgiveness is we're taking it to the source. The first point is forgiveness is from God. It belongs to God. So forgiveness is from God, and it belongs to God. You can feel free to write these things down, but again, if you want a copy of this, I would be more than happy to share it with people. Forgiveness is from God, and it belongs to God. And the first passage I'm going to have you turn to is Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. You can go ahead and turn there and just hold your Bible open in it, or just put your finger in there to hold your place. Because I'm going to go through a couple of other passages before we go to that one. But Mark chapter 2 is going to be what we're going to talk about in a few. I have 3 other passages that we're going to talk about before that, though. So the first passage that we're going to go through is Psalm 130, verses 3 through 4. It says, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." So we know that God is the God above all. We know that God is our righteous judge. We know that he is perfectly just like we can't be. And this passage in verse 3 says, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" If the Lord was to hold every one of our sins against us, who could possibly make a plea for their sins before the Lord and not experience his justice? None of us could. Only Jesus could do that, right? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. It's a wonderful, wonderful encouragement. So forgiveness is from God, and it belongs to God. We talk a lot about how Jesus died for our sins, and that's true, and that's wonderful, and that's great. But I think sometimes what we don't talk about a lot is how Jesus also, not only did he die for us, but he also lived for us. He also lived a perfect life for us. So while we can't come before God by ourselves and make a plea for ourselves before him, we have Jesus who is able to make a plea for us before God. And with him there is forgiveness in that. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful encouragement. The next one is Daniel 9. Verse 9. And again, we'll get to Mark, so just hold your Bible in Mark. Hold your Bible open to Mark, and we'll get there in a second. Daniel 9, verse 9 says, "To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him." So we know that God is the standard for these things, right? God created everything as we know it. So if we want to know what something is like, we go to God to see what that thing is like. Okay? So if we want to know about forgiveness, we have to go to the Lord and see how the Lord forgives in order to really understand forgiveness and in order to forgive well. Next one is Genesis 50, verses 17 through 21. This is one of my favorite passages on forgiveness. Honestly, for not any other reason besides it just kind of speaks to me. It speaks to my heart. I don't have any personal connection to Joseph or anything like that. But I love this passage. It's Genesis 50, 17 through 21. It says, say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers. This is Jacob talking to him. Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The story of Joseph is a pretty familiar story, but he was essentially, his brothers were trying to kill him, right? And Joseph was picked up by a group and taken to Egypt, and through his own personal integrity and through some visions and some gifts that the Lord had given to him, he gradually climbed the ladder in the Egyptian government and came to basically the second highest position of power in the Egyptian government. And through his gifts and through these visions that the Lord had given to him, he was actually able to prevent a famine for Egypt and for countries around there. And so when Joseph's brothers meant to kill him and do this evil thing, the Lord took that whole thing and made it this wonderful, great thing and actually prevented a lot of people from dying. And so when his brothers came to him to ask him forgiveness for this thing, this is many years later, Joseph said, am I in the place of God? I'm not the one that you need to fear. I'm not the perfect, righteous judge. So don't fear me, because I'm not in the place of God. And so Joseph is recognizing that God is the source of judgment. God is the source of forgiveness. And Joseph is attributing that to the Lord, which is awesome. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 2. Now that you've been waiting so patiently for me to get to that verse, or those verses. Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. And when Jesus saw their face, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. So, this is a great story. This is early on in Jesus' ministry. It's early on in Mark. And so a lot of people still aren't familiar with who Jesus is and with the kinds of things that that he can do. A lot of people haven't heard stories. And so when he comes and he sees this paralyzed man laying there and he says, son, your sins are forgiven, this is something that takes these scribes by total surprise. I mean, they're blown away. They thought that maybe this guy walking up to this paralyzed guy, maybe he's going to throw a coin to the guy or you know, pray to the Lord for him or something like that. And Jesus comes up to him, and the first thing that Jesus says to the guy isn't, take up your bed and walk. It's, son, your sins are forgiven. So even if Jesus would have walked over and said, son, take up your bed and walk, yeah, it would have been surprising to them. But not as much as Jesus walking up to the guy and saying, your sins are forgiven. And so these guys are totally just blown away by what Jesus has done here. So, of course, this is one of the many times that Jesus has attributed the characteristics of God to himself in order to help people understand that he is God. He is the Lord. He is the one true God. Throughout the Gospels, he says, I am. to the Pharisees in order to help them connect with when the Lord told Moses, tell them, I am, has sent you. That became a powerful way to, it was kind of a powerful attribute of the Lord. To say, I am, meant that you are God. And so when Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven, Jesus is basically saying, I am the Lord, and I can forgive your sins. But these guys just see this dude coming up and saying that, right? He doesn't look like the God of all the heavens and all the earth. He looks like this guy who is a carpenter in Galilee coming up and saying this stuff. And so they're blown away, and they accuse him of blaspheming. And how does Jesus respond? What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? Well, which was easier for the scribes to say? I mean, between those two options, probably take up your bed and walk is the easiest thing to say. But if they said that, nothing would have happened, right? And if they would have said, your sins are forgiven, well, this guy's sins wouldn't have been forgiven because these are just some scribes. These aren't God. And so Jesus is really setting himself apart as the God of heaven, the one true God, and saying that forgiveness belongs to me, and I have authority on earth to do this. So forgiveness is from God, and it belongs to God. A couple other verses we won't go through, but I'll mention them if you want to write them down in your notes. That to go along with this point are Exodus 34:7, Isaiah 1:18, and Psalm 51:4. So Exodus 34:7, Isaiah 1:18, and Psalm 51:4. Forgiveness is from God. It belongs to God. So that's point number one. Point number two is forgiveness is a righteous quality. Forgiveness is a righteous quality. The verse that we're going to look at is Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. So go ahead and hold that spot in your Bible, because first I'm going to go to Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verses 19 through 20. This is right after Joshua gives his famous choose to this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a few verses later. It says, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And we end up seeing this little prophecy come true, right? In the very next book, Judges, we see the Israelite people turning away from the Lord, and the Lord sends these other nations in to conquer them and enslave them and that kind of stuff. And then the Lord raises up judges within the people, and then they do it again. Judges is, to me, is like one of the most frustrating books to read through, because it's just constantly the Israelites just keep turning away from the Lord and getting themselves into these horrible situations because of their disobedience and their apostasy. And so Joshua says, you are not able to serve the Lord. And he's saying that because these are rebellious, wicked people. The Israelites are either already running away from the Lord, or they're on the way of turning away from the Lord and running away from him. You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is holy. You're not holy, you're wicked. The Lord is holy, so you can't serve him. He's a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions or sins. Well, that sounds kind of harsh, right, to hear that. If you were acting a certain way and somebody said, well, you can't serve a holy God, and he's not going to forgive your transgressions or your sins, it'd be like, oh, man, like that'd be kind of convicting. But he goes on to explain in verse 20, for if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do harm and consume you after having done you good. So wickedness isn't it doesn't correspond with forgiveness. Forgiveness is a righteous quality. So let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 37. There's a pretty popular verse. A lot of the verses that we're going to look at are actually verses that are really well known to a lot of people. But Luke 6:37 says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." This is a righteous thing because forgiveness comes from God. It belongs to God. God is perfectly righteous. He is perfectly holy, right? And so it is a righteous quality. We also see this in Ephesians 4:32. Coming off of Luke there. Galatians, Ephesians 4:32. Oops. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." He also expounds on this pretty much the same point in Colossians 3:13. "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive." So this is a righteous thing. Forgiveness is from God. It belongs to God. God is righteous. And if we are harboring wickedness and hate in our heart, forgiveness doesn't go along with that. How can you forgive somebody if you still hate them? That's not forgiveness. If the Lord said he forgave us and he hated us, that wouldn't be forgiveness, right? And God is our standard. God is perfectly righteous and perfectly holy. So our first point, forgiveness is from God. It belongs to God. Second point, forgiveness is a righteous quality. And our third point, this is going to be a little weird for everyone to hear. So just hang in there, okay? The third point, forgiveness is not unconditional. Forgiveness is not unconditional, okay? I didn't say forgiveness is not conditional. I didn't say forgiveness is unconditional. I said forgiveness is not unconditional. And that's kind of a weird thing to hear for us. I feel like in our day and age, we hear more often that forgiveness is just something that we need to do for ourselves. And so if somebody sins against you, just forgive them. Just go out and forgive them, that kind of stuff. I got to be honest, we don't see that in the Bible. Forgiveness is not an unconditional thing. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4, and see that. That's the one we're going to start with on this point. Luke 17, verses 3 through 4. "Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times to the day saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." So this is not an unconditional thing. It didn't say if your brother sins against you, forgive him. It says if your brother sins against you and if he repents, forgive him. Sometimes, again, I think this is kind of difficult for us to think about. But it goes back to the issue of our heart. Where is our heart at? Do we hate these people? Are we really forgiving these people? Well, we don't. If you don't forgive somebody, that doesn't mean you hate them, right? Leviticus 19:17. It says, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him." So it doesn't say, that passage doesn't mention forgiveness specifically, but it still mentions that we shouldn't hate each other and have hate in our hearts. So even if we're not forgiving somebody, it doesn't mean that we hate them. It doesn't mean that we harbor strife or any ill will towards that person. Okay? But don't feel obligated to go around and just start throwing bags of forgiveness to everybody who's sinned against you. because, again, that's not what we see in here. That's not what we see in the Bible. Forgiveness isn't unconditional. However, we must be ready to forgive regardless. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, it says, they refused to obey and were not mindful of the wonders that you performed among them, but they stiffened their neck and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and did not forsake them. So even in the times when these people were actively sinning against the Lord, they weren't going to the Lord, repenting of their sins, confessing of their sins, God was ready to forgive, and when they came back, he didn't forsake them, right? So it's not unconditional. We don't have to go around forgiving everyone who sins against us if we don't see a heart of repentance there. But we don't hate those people, and we are ready to forgive when they do come and confess and repent. So the first point, forgiveness is from God. It belongs to God. The second point, forgiveness is a righteous quality. The third point, forgiveness is not unconditional. The fourth point, it is required. Forgiveness is required. We just talked through Luke 17, verses 3 through 4. I should have put my finger there, but I didn't. Luke 17, verses 3 through 4. Verse 4, he says, if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times, saying, I repent. That's a lot of, by the way, that's a lot of times for somebody to sin against you in one day. 7 times, that would be like, stop sinning against me. 7 times is a lot. Even once is a lot in a day, but 7 times in one day. But this is what it says. If he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. It's required. This is a requirement. The other verse that we're going to look at is, or the other verses are Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. And these last two points kind of go hand in hand a little bit here. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, you can turn there. This is Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer. And Luke also has an account of the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11, right at the beginning. But this is a little bit in Matthew chapter 6. And after the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's account, he gives these two verses that talk about forgiveness. Luke doesn't give this little tag onto the Lord's Prayer, but Matthew includes this. So verse 13 is the end of the Lord's Prayer. And then verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We saw that it's a righteous quality, but that doesn't mean, these verses don't mean that we are only forgiven because we forgive other people. But if we repent and come to the Lord, or when we repent and come to the Lord and we become a child of the Lord, he has forgiven us. And because he has forgiven us, then we forgive others. If we are not forgiving others, then we are not living a holy and righteous life before the Lord. And our lives should probably be examined. We should probably really consider our hearts. And so if we take what Luke verse 4 just said, if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times he says, I repent, you must forgive him. We could include this little tag on the end there too, right? For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this is a requirement. Forgiveness is a requirement. Again, it's not unconditional, but we must be ready to forgive. And when they come to us, it is required that we do. And it's hard. It's really hard to do that. I can tell you, again, just from things that I've gone through recently this year, it's been difficult to do that. But we must do it. Because I've because I've been forgiven, honestly, for much worse than what those people did to sin against me. I've sinned against the Lord much worse, and he's forgiven me, and I thank him for that. So forgiveness is from God. It belongs to God. Forgiveness is a righteous quality. Forgiveness is not unconditional, and forgiveness is required. The fifth point, and again, this kind of tags on to point number four a little bit. Forgiveness is necessary for our sanctification. Forgiveness is necessary for our sanctification. And again, these two verses can help us out with that. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is a necessary thing for our sanctification, right? When the Lord brings us into his family and brings us to him, and the Spirit is in our hearts, and the Spirit is helping us to every day to live more and more righteous and holy lives, that's our sanctification. And we go through that for our entire lives from when we're saved until the day that we get to see the Lord face to face. And that's our sanctification. It's the constant work of the Spirit in our lives helping us to become more and more holy. We can never be perfectly holy, but with the Spirit working in us, he's helping us get there more and more. And so the verse that we're going to look at that corresponds with this point is Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. It says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Some versions say 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is a really intense story. This first servant owed a lot of money to his master. You know how we know that? Well, first of all, it says how much he owed, but if you don't know if you don't know the equivalent of what a talent is, what the master wanted to do was sell the guy, his family, and all that he had in order to pay him back. That's a lot of money. This guy, the servant who ended up getting the mercy from the master, had a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, and so a denarii was about a day's wage. And when this guy couldn't pay him back, not only did he assault him, he started choking him. He then sent him to prison and said, you'll be in prison until you're able to pay me back. Even though he was just forgiven enough debt that his whole family and everything that he owned would have had to have been sold to pay it back. And so what does the master call him? A wicked servant. Why is he wicked? Because he owes a lot of money? That's not why he's wicked. He's wicked because he would not forgive with the same heart that he was forgiven. He had a kind of hate and anger in his heart towards his fellow servant. So forgiveness is necessary for our sanctification. It's necessary for us to become more Christ-like, to become more set apart from the wickedness of the world, and to become more righteous like Christ. You can also look at John chapter 20, verse 23. Says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And then Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Forgiveness is a part of the gospel. To understand the gospel means we understand forgiveness, right? What's the gospel? The gospel is that we are sinful, wicked people. We need a savior. We cannot rescue ourselves from our sin and our wickedness. So God himself, the only one who is perfectly holy and perfectly righteous, came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins to rescue us from the punishment that comes along with our sins, and we receive forgiveness because of that. So forgiveness is a central part of the gospel. And what Jesus is telling the disciples here is you're going to go out and you're going to show people the gospel. You're going to show people my love, my perfect holiness, and my perfect righteousness, my perfect love. You're going to show them that, and you're going to teach them about the forgiveness of sins. It'll be proclaimed to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So this is something that is necessary for our sanctification. It's necessary for us to be able to live holy and righteous lives. So to recap, forgiveness is from God. It belongs to God. Forgiveness is a righteous quality. Forgiveness is not unconditional. Forgiveness is required. And forgiveness is necessary for our sanctification. And again, I want to encourage you all to think about things that are going on in your own lives and in your own hearts right now. Have you been able to really forgive? Has someone sinned against you? Have you just said, yeah, I forgive you, and just said some words, but you still continue to harbor hate or anger in your heart towards that person? If so, I would challenge you to consider these things. I would challenge you to go before the Lord and repent and confess your own sins, and to understand that when you do that, the Lord forgives you. And because when you do that, the Lord forgives you, then you should forgive as well. Again, this is not an easy thing to do. It is something that the Lord has helped me understand better and better throughout my life. And I thank him every day for that. I thank the Lord for rescuing me from a life of anger and hatred, and for bringing me into his place, for bringing me into his family. And so, again, I hope that this study is convicting while at the same time being encouraging for all of you today. So let's go ahead and stand as we pray. Lord, you are a wonderful, loving, good, righteous, just, gracious, holy, merciful God. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful example of how we need to live our own lives when it comes to the love that we show you and when it comes to the love that we show others. Lord, thank you for your word, where we can read that, where we can learn about that. Lord, thank you for your spirit, so that we can better understand what those things mean. And Lord, I pray that you would give us all hearts of forgiveness. Lord, that we would recognize that because you are perfectly holy and righteous, and because forgiveness comes from you, then we can understand what it means to forgive. And Lord, not that we have to just go around saying, I forgive you, to everybody and everything, but Lord, when somebody comes to us and repents and asks for forgiveness, Lord, that we are ready to forgive, that we don't continue to harbor hate and anger towards that person, because you have not done that with us. So Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, that we would continue to consider these things throughout the rest of this day and throughout the rest of this week. And Lord, that we wouldn't feel convicted in a way where we feel guilty or beat down or depressed, but Lord, that we would feel convicted in a way that is an encouragement from you. That we better understand your love and your forgiveness and your holiness. And Lord, may we run to you in order to continue understanding that more and more and better. So Lord, I pray that as we go about our day, everything that we do and everything that we say will honor and glorify you. And I thank you for bringing everyone here this morning. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.